Chapter 4, please, if you would. Should do it. Thank you, gentlemen. Genesis chapter 4, please. Genesis chapter 4. That's a great group of youngins, huh? Was it 20 years ago? Was it 25 years ago? We had a family visit here. They didn't stick around over a period of time, even though I made them wait 1 year before they joined the church. Both of them were unsaved, in my opinion. That's the reason I had them wait. But this is not the point. By the way, do you know what's going on tonight, by the way, with the young people? What's going on with the young people? Well, number one, the learning how to. This is what this woman said when she came here. She said, now, she'd gone to some rock and roll church, which there's one on every street corner with noise so loud that your ears bleed. And that's fine if that's what you have to have, you know, to have religion. She said, I never knew how bad my singing was till I came here. Because I can never hear myself sing. Mm-hmm. I like it when kids learn to sing. By the way, it's a lost art in our country. Many people never sing. It's not time to talk about that. Well, tonight we're going to stand in a minute and read some of Genesis 4. I want everyone to hear me. This is my second Sunday night on this section. And I never meant to preach on it at all for this reason. It's not a happy story. Why am I preaching on it? This reason. Number one, it's the first children born on earth, Cain. And both brothers were lost. We have to come to deal with reality. It's very hard for parents to deal with reality. It's very hard for anybody to deal with reality. It's very difficult. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let's all stand. Continuing what you have in the Bible, and I believe this is actually intentional. I do not think it is metaphorical. I don't think it's a euphemism. I don't think the author is trying to be polite. I think he's actually trying to be precise. Okay? Because I don't think sexuality in the Bible is ever what it's become in our filthy culture. It says, in Adam, what? I think that's very precise. Not a metaphor for sex. It was much more in God's eyes. It was a way of knowing someone. Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she can say conceived and bare Canaan. Cain. I want to say Canaan. Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Or something to that effect. The Hebrew text is very compressed. It's literally the word gotten is related to the word, not related, looks like the word Cain or sounds like it. And basically she's making a play off his name. I have gotten a man at Yahweh, the Lord. But that doesn't make any sense. So basically she is excited. She has now conceived the first child on earth, Cain. Then it goes on to say, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. I think I said last week, just repeat it, doesn't hurt, because if you weren't here, you didn't hear it. Abel is the same word as you find in a book that I haven't quite finished with. I will in November. Hevel ha-hevelim. Abel is the word that means vanity. Meaning it's something that's like fog that just disappears. That's what the word means. By the way, he didn't live very long. He was gone. You know this. Verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings, plural, of his flock, and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very happy, and his countenance fell. Otherwise, what's that mean when you translate that into your language? It showed up on his face. I mentioned last Sunday night, I'm not going to talk about this. This is way outside of a Bible study. Paul Ekman, a researcher, did study on facial expressions. I bought gas tonight. Which direction is it? Right down the road here at the end. The gentleman that works in the place is Malayalam from Kerala. If you go to India and someone says yes, they don't say yes like this. They don't say yes like a Filipino. With the eyebrows and the head thrown back, they say yes like, right? Why did I bring that even up? That's a good question. I got lost in my illustration. I remember, I know what it is. Do you all know there's half a dozen, maybe up to 10 emotions that are universal? Disgust is one of them. I saw disgust in this church recently. It surprised me, actually. Why were they disgusted? Anger, universal. By the way, smiles are universal. If you see fake people smiling, they smile with their mouth, but not with their eyes. Yeah, those are universal. By the way, his countenance fell. His anger showed up on his face. By the way, who was his anger at? Well, it was at God. But he didn't take it out on God, because what's he going to do to God? We continue. But unto Cain, it goes on to say, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, the obvious question, the Lord didn't need information, by the way, why art thou wroth? Why art thou furious? And why is thy countenance, you know, your countenance, your face fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, guess what? Sin lieth, and that could be croucheth, that works, at the door. The last part of verse 7, forgive me, do not get angry at me. It is nonsense in King James English. I looked it up in 20 translations today, and they all say basically the same thing. And when it says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him, that's like, what? We'll look at that later. But it's, all you have to do is, the last word, him, is a, the ending can either be him or it. If it's it changes the whole thing. We'll look at that later. That's not important right now. Cain, then we continue. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and let's make this modern, murdered him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And by the way, I've heard that verse preached, that line preached on. It's worthwhile. Are you your brother's keeper? To some degree, the answer is yes. Not absolutely. He didn't care. And he said, what hast thou done? Well, God knew what he had done. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from, remember the ground we talked about last week for you that were here? The ground is under what condition? Thank you. You know the where you brought your offering from, the cursed ground, in the previous two references are to the ground being cursed? That's where the blood is crying to me from. And now art thou cursed from the earth. We're back to it again, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond, someone doesn't have a permanent existence, shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I won't say this tonight. He never one time repented of anything. Are you all listening? There's never one iota. I mean, he gets angry at God. He murders his brother. God confronts. There is never any, you would think, why wouldn't you repent? By the way, have you met people? People are right going straight through the wall. They're still right. Wow. It's depressing when you see this. 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. But he never asked for him, not he didn't ask for no repentance, no sorrow, no nothing. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall murder me or slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And no, I do not know what that means. The Hebrew word is the word oat, which means a sign. I don't know what it means, and no one else does. Verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. By the way, bye-bye, God. See you later. And dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And we continue the story. Tonight, we're going to finish Two Brothers Lost. Before we pray, I want to be very clear. I would rather never talk about this, and this will obviously not be directed to anybody in this room. So if you think it's about you, you're not listening. But you ought to be listening as if it might be about you. Okay? But of course, it's not about you. I thought about just moving on to a real positive story. But I thought I spent a lot of time last Sunday night working on this. Well, not last Sunday night, preaching last Sunday night, and tonight will be the actual message. Let's pray. We'll get started. Father, help me as we look at this text. I think we all need a warning. I think some of us become infatuated with non-reality. Everything is happy, happy, happy. But that's really the very first mother on planet Earth lost two sons. I don't know anything that could be more unpleasant for any mother that I've ever met than to lose her children. And these are the sad facts of reality. Help me as I try to share ideas that will explain the text. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's a long time. 39 years ago, well, it's over 39 years now, my wife and I left Bible college, left the job I worked in the hospital, and went to be an assistant pastor for 15 minutes, a little longer than 15 minutes. After we had been there for a short period of time, the senior pastor, for reasons unknown to me, part of it was, though all of you think it's very easy to speak three different times on a Sunday, I only know a handful of men that are capable of doing that week after week after week. Most pastors cannot do it. Or if they do, they say the same thing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, everything's the same. The pastor couldn't preach. I realized he had no ability to think, work through text, and preach the Bible. So whatever he taught in Sunday, whatever was good that day is what he preached all day. If he had a good Sunday school, he preached that Sunday morning, he preached that Sunday night. By the way, some of you are going to wake up and realize, I don't say the same thing service to service. One day, you'll figure that out. Well, he divided the Sunday schools. Do you remember this? 18 to 29, the young, right out of college, young married people. My friend, I won't say his name, friend is a very soft word there. He took the 18 to 29. I got the next group, 29 to 40. By the way, I had just turned 29. 29 to 40. And then the pastor took the 40 to whatever, the rest of the group. Jenny, do you remember those days? It's been a couple weeks, hasn't it? 39 years ago. I started teaching. I knew, and by the way, problems started the first day there for the very thing that I'm talking about, the ability to teach and preach. That's a big thing. But anyhow, after about 2 or 3 months, the younger guy, I'll call his name Bill, the other younger pastor said, Ralph, my wife and I need to be out of town for one Sunday. Can you teach our Sunday school class? Do you remember? I know you remember this. You remember it because of emotions. I had been teaching for 3 or 4 months, 2 or 3 months anyhow, a group of people aged 29 to 40. I liked them. I liked the class. I tried to teach. I tried to help. I tried to encourage. But I hadn't taught that younger group. So one Sunday, Bill was out of town. I walked in. Both classes came together. They weren't huge classes. They were small classes. I don't know, four, five, six couples, maybe a few more, who knows. They all came together. Let me get something. I won't do it because I would hurt the book. If you would take this book and hit me on the head, I have never had a stranger experience in my life. Jenny, do you want to tell people what the experience was? Come on. I'm not going to tell it better. Do you all know what the experience was? I had been teaching 29 to 40 years old, which means all of these people had been married longer than 5 minutes. They had children. Many of them had adult children or close to it. And the other ones were all kids or people just getting married. Oh, my goodness. Did you like the sound of that? I don't want to do it too hard because that book won't work. By the way, Nen, Mategasangulo, in both ways, literally and metaphorically. I want to say this, and this is the reason I bring this up. The 18 to 29-year-olds were positive. They were full of hope. And they had a future. Was it not true? And it was obvious. Do you know that I look at you? Do you recognize the difference between somebody who's been married a while? It's a very different thing. The 29 to 40-year-olds were negative. They had little to no hope. They didn't feel like the future would be much different. Their marriage was not 100% like they had dreamed of. Their job was not perfect. Their children had become problems. And frankly, one day you realize children are not perfectible. No matter what you do, they're not perfectible. And then things get worse. Some of your kids don't follow Christ. Is anyone listening? They have failures in their marriages. As I said this morning, they shack up. They do drugs. They do alcohol. Some get involved in crime. Today, the number one problem I see is the failure to launch. And you and Adam, look at me, Eve. Look at me, Eve. You and Adam can't do one single thing about Cain. That's your problem. And it didn't start in America in 2000. It started with the first couple. Well, we're going to look at the text this morning or this evening. And by the way, if you do not believe the story I just told, talk to her independently of me. She was there too. It was so noticeable that it was weird. I don't think I've ever had a weird experience like that. What do we find in this very sad story? Number one, different from the start. Cain and Abel were different from the very beginning. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord or with the Lord's help. Isn't that beautiful? And she again bare his brother Abel. And then strangely enough, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, I say in the notes, obviously, this text is exceptionally compact and limited in, on detail. We get that. But just some basic thoughts. Cain initially caused Eve much joy. Does everybody agree with that? I mean, there is nothing like when that baby is born. Friends, we only had the privilege of having two children. We wanted to have at least three. Age, circumstances, lots of things. We had two. I can still remember when both of them were born. By the way, I think most men that are men are going to remember. You were there, and I can remember the first, when John was born, it was a mess because, you know, it was on and on and on and putting her on Pitocin, and then finally the next morning, I think John was born in the morning. Is that correct, Jenny? He was 12:08. See, I got it exactly backwards. Amy must have been in the morning. All I know is this. I can remember her being in agony. And by the way, what do men do when she's in agony? Would you like some ice chips? Oh, here it is. We took Lamaze, if you ever heard of it. It's a communist organization, okay? They teach you how to breathe. By the way, after a while, the wife is saying, if you ever mention breathing again, I'm going to kill you. And our Lamaze teacher, which was a Christian woman, said, there's really no pain. It's just pressure. But I want to say this. When John was born, the whole world changed. And it was, I really saw it. It was the most beautiful thing. Cain initially caused Eve much joy. Secondly, Cain and Abel were different. Is that weird to you all? Now, if you only had one child, you don't know this. But if you have more than one, it's very strange. I say in your notes, number three, Adam and Eve had little control over those differences. Very little control. Friends, look at me. You know what I mean by differences? I'm not talking, you can teach your kids a lot. Both of my children can sing. Look at me, everybody. Everybody listening. 100% from her. Both children have musical ability. 100% from her. All the good stuff pretty much comes from her. All the bad stuff, well, you know where it comes from. They come by it honestly, especially the shorter one. But listen, friend. Do you know when John was born, John would not put his head on our shoulder. He did not want to snuggle up. Do you think I caused that? Amy didn't want to unsnuggle up. Now, John hugs now. He's fine. Is that correct, Jenny? By the way, kids are different. The fundamental differences in children is so weird. Now, if you only got one, you don't have to worry about it. You have two or three, it's like, are you from the same family? What family did you come from? How did this happen? Little Evan came up to me between the services today. He got loose. Jared wasn't here. Jared's sick. He got loose, which is fine. He came up. He came into my office. He always does the same. He comes behind my chair so I can't see him. He's laughing his head off. He wants chocolate. So you say, do you give him chocolate? Well, of course I do. I'm the grandfather. I'm not going to say no. That's my calling. My answer is yes. Anyhow, I give him a piece of chocolate. He walks out and he looks back at me. He did it today at home too. He said something about me loving him. And he said, how much do you love me, Bumpa? I got news for you. Jesse and Evan are totally different kids. Why the little guy gets humor much, much better than Jesse, I have no idea. They're born in the same family. They have the same parents. They have the same grandparents. They're different. I'm afraid one of them is more like Louis Hedas. That's what makes me really nervous. That's an example. By the way, when I say Adam and Eve had little control over those differences, I'm talking about fundamental things. You can make sure your children get a good education, and you can do a lot of things to make them compatible and similar, but some things, it just isn't going to work. There's a book. If any of you are at all interested, it is one of the best little books I ever read, and not that we have this issue here. I read it 40 years ago. It had nothing to do with me then. It has nothing to do with me now. It helped me biblically. It helped me think about something. It's published by the Regular Baptist Press, which teaches our Sunday school curriculum comes from, and it's a book on suicide, and it's by a pastor and his wife. It's a beautiful book. It really helped me grab a hold of a handful of passages on darkness because it talked about their experiences. They had five sons from day one, not from day two, not from day three, not 10 years later. From day one, first two kids went this way. Middle kid went that way. Last two kids went this way. Four kids, all follow the Lord, all did right. Middle child, never adapted. He was just an oddball. He was weird. He couldn't fit in. He couldn't figure out how to fit in. And by the way, these are people that love their kids and their kids love them. That kid loved them too. He just was odd. I don't want to go into the story. If you're interested, I'll show you the book. You can get it on Regular Baptist Press. It's called Suicide. Look up Regular Baptist Press. It's a small book. By the way, an exceptionally good book in many ways. The boy went into the military. Guess what they thought? Problems are solved. I think he got married. They thought, well, maybe he's going to be a little different, but he's going to be okay. That didn't work. Military didn't work. Marriage didn't work. He came home. He disappeared. And I'll just make the story short. They had I don't know if they had property or there was property behind them. They found him like 6 months later back in the woods dead. Committed suicide. Look him in the eyes. There was not a thing they could do for that boy. You say, that's not possible. Do you believe in the total depravity of man? Do you believe the fall has affected us? Yes, it has. I don't, by the way, what could they have done wrong for Cain to do? I don't know. In your notes. The State of Theology, this is Ligonier Ministry, Survey of Evangelicals. This is what they found recently. I think this was 2025. State of Theology for Ligonier Ministries, that's R.C. Sproul. He's with the Lord, but his ministry said this: 64% of evangelicals said that everyone is born innocent. Everybody, look at me, please. I didn't say 64% of pagans. I said 64% of people that say they're Bible-believing, evangelical, gospel-believing Christians. I think we have it here somewhat. We think, well, maybe Pastor Warren's grandson is not innocent because he takes after Louis, but my child. Are most people born innocent? By the way, I'm going to tell you how many people have been born innocent. Two. Well, they really weren't born. One was created and one was created out of, but Adam and Eve. Past that, no one's born innocent. Where did they get that from? Our culture. By the way, have you listened to people? He has a heart of gold. Really? I'd like to meet the person that has the heart of gold. When God says the heart is, and above all things, that desperately, who could, that sounds different than this heart of gold stuff. All right, next. 53%, now this is not my survey, said this: everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Oh my goodness. Where do you get this? In your notes, and I'm not going to preach on these verses, I'm not even going to read them. This is a fundamental denial of original sin. Now, of course, original sin doesn't mean the original sin. It means the impact of that sin, that all of us are born sinful. Under the verses, I see this takeaways. Your child was born a sinner. How many of you agree with that? Now, I got two children right here on the front. You got one named Kier, and you got one named, what's your name? Perfection. One is sinful like, thank you, Louis. We nailed this right down, of course. One's like the dad, of course. Can I say this? As much as I love both kids, and I do, I love both kids, and I love this young lady. She's a sweetheart. He's a fine young man. He's got some, I even have some weird athletic ability in hockey. That's a weird one for me. There's never been a Tahana, well, there might have been, but now, you know, someone of Filipino, and that's pretty exciting. Can I say this? Which one of them are born sinners? Are you sure? We have people that are, I think, in our church that think maybe, yeah, maybe that person has got sin, but me, not so much. All right, your child was born a sinner. That's hard to accept. Number two, your child will sin. Amy is teaching young people. The number one problem we have in our school is among, look at me, not everybody that come here claims to be Christians, but many do. Carly, have you ever had, I've seen this so, I've been here too long. You're in first grade. Of course, your kids are perfect, right? You have two guys that are perfect, one named Jesse and one named Mad Matt. I know both of them are perfect. You'll have parents that say, my kid wouldn't do that. Where did you, by the way, do you remember yourself? Now, I know, hold it. We have at least three women in this room. And if you don't, if your name is not mentioned, don't get mad at me. I know we have one here, one up here that went through Bob Jones University without ever causing one ripple of problems. Folks, I caused more problems the first day I'm at a place than they did in 4 years. Okay, I got it. But everybody's born a sinner, and everybody sins. Next, your child must be saved, just like every child. And by the way, apart from the grace of God, who knows? And you can't force them to get saved. Yes, you can bring them to Sunday school. You can bring them to Awana. You can teach them at home. You can share the gospel. There is no ability you have to force your child to come to Christ. Next, your child still bears, and this is the good part, the image of God. Your child still bears the image of God. That's beautiful. I have it in your notes next. If you don't know the word imago Dei, that is a Latin phrase that you need to know, because if you read anything other than the funny paper, you'll come across it. The imago Dei is simply the image of God in Latin. The imago Dei hasn't been destroyed. Every child still has that imago Dei. They still have a lot of good things, but it has, I say in your notes, it has not been destroyed. It has only been defaced or messed up in some fashion. This is what it all means, and boy, I teach this all the time. Every child and every person has these two things. And by the way, I learned these directly from Francis Schaeffer. This is not new with me, though this is obvious in scripture and in theology. What this means is this: when a child is born, they have the potential for great nobility and beauty. And folks, it amazes me sometimes, a little kid that grows up and they get to be an adult and they do noble things, beautiful things, and that's spectacular. But within that same person, by the way, even if they're saved to some degree, even though the Holy Spirit limits that and gives us a new desires, we still, within us, we have that potential for nobility and beauty. We also have the potential for cruelty and depravity within the same person. What do you all think about that? Please look at me. Do you know your children? I'm looking over here at these guys. None of you have children yet. This is what we're going to hope. When you guys have children down the road, boy, scary thought. We're going to pray that they take after your wives, not after you guys. Is that all right? That they just kind of skip some stuff here. But look at me. That won't help, because their wives are sinners too. You can't get away from it, friend. Now, the beautiful thing is, little child gets saved. There's some beautiful things they can do. By the way, you'll meet some unsaved people, total pagans, that do very noble, beautiful things. Where do they get it from? The imago Dei. God created us to be like that. There's also the other side. That's in the text. We'll skip for tonight. Number two. This is where it gets hard. They were different from the start, both kids. Number two, they were different, I believe, in the heart. Never uses the word heart, but meaning who they were. It was different from in the heart. Genesis 4, and I'm going to expound on this a little bit as we move forward. And in the process of time, it came to pass. We don't know how long. That's one of the problems with it. It's very compact, very limited in detail. But in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I do not want to say one more or 14 more times, but the ground was under a curse. The previous references to Adama came out of the ground is now cursed for your sake, Adam. He brought fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And then we have this unbelievable statement, and the Lord had respect unto, not unto Abel's offering, unto Abel the man and his offering, but unto Cain the man and his offering, he did not respect or did not receive. And Cain was furious, very wroth, and his countenance, his whole demeanor changed. And the Lord said unto Cain, and by the way, good question, why are you angry? Hold it, stop. This implies, it requires that Cain knew what kind of offering to bring. Why are you mad, Cain? You know what you should be doing. And then look what else he says. Keep reading. I mean, it's pretty straightforward stuff in my opinion. He says, why are you angry or furious or full of wrath? And why is that countenance fallen? Verse 7, I think, is the key text in the whole passage. If thou doest well, Cain, you brought an offering. It was the wrong offering from the wrong place. Why he did it? Well, that's speculation. But listen, if you do well, guess what? Look at me. If you do well, guess what will happen? Everything will be fine. Do you understand what that is? That's an invitation. If you do right, not a problem. But if you decide to continue down your path, as it says, and if thou doest not well, Sin lieth, in almost all translations properly translate this, but lying works. It's like an animal lying about ready to pounce is the idea, crouches at the door. So you have an option here. You can backtrack, bring the correct offering from the correct place in your heart, or you can go the other way and you can just keep on doing what you're doing. And sin is ready to eat your lunch. That's Ralph's translation. The ESV clears up the last half. And by the way, it's not the ESV. Every modern translation clarifies the last verse, the last line. In the last line of the ESV, it says, its desire, meaning the desire is contrary to what you're trying to accomplish here. You need to bring the right offering from your heart. It's contrary to you. You're struggling with that. And then it says, but you must rule over it. You've got to step up, control your passions, control your emotions, control your ego, or it's going to destroy you. And by the way, which happened? Which happened? All right, in your notes. There's lots of opinions, but we're going to start with the facts. I like to always start with the facts. Both brothers brought an offering. We all agree with that. Is that correct? Secondly, God respected Abel and his offering. Do not make this just about an offering, because this is a matter, look, this always came from here. That's the strange thing. Next page. God rejected Cain and his offering, and Cain was furious, and it showed up on his face. Wow. So God rejected Cain and his offering, but he accepted Abel, the man, and his offering. Now, we'll get into why in a minute. We'll have to get that from various other texts. Cain was furious. By the way, if we stop right here, you don't have a clue what's going to happen, do you? Hey, look at me, friends. Do you know that I'm against drinking? Have I ever mentioned that in this church? Now, please take a breather here. Take a deep breath. When I was back here in the Dark Ages, before many of you were born in the 70s, we had an assistant pastor. His brother started coming to this church here, there, and yon, unsaved guy. One of these macho guys. One of these good-looking guys. And I still remember the night when the scuttlebutt got around that some girl had been murdered with a bayonet. Until we found out it was the youth pastor's brother that had done it in a drunken rage. Please don't ever talk to me about your stupid. I know people's sinful nature, including the guy you're looking at, and it ain't good. Mother, if we stopped here, look at, if we stopped here, Abel, if you do good, I'll accept you. It's not talking about working your way to heaven. Do what I have commanded you from the heart. But if you decide not to, crouching right over there like an animal lying just about right is sin. Which is it going to be? Now, here's the problem. You have things going on inside you that's contrary one to the other. You're going to have to get control of that, or you're going to, and by the way, did he get control? No. Went right down the road, very sadly. Well, we'll go under the chart, read the verses, come back to the chart. I'm not going to refer to verses. I'm assuming you're adults. Hebrews 11 is part of the rest of the scripture speaking. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which by implication means Cain did not do it by faith, by which he obtained witness that he became righteous, that he already was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of, what kind of a person was Cain, saved or unsaved? I mean, the text tell you, so you don't have to pray about this. And he murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Abel and Cain, we'll go from left to right, we'll go back and forth. I say in your notes, one was a believer. And one, the other one, an unbeliever. It starts right there. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Didn't they grow up in the same home? See, this is the problem. If you got one child, God bless you, love you. But if you have multiple children, I think any family that has multiple children will wonder why one does this and the other goes off here. Why? I don't know. There's four kids in our family. I'm not going to comment on the spiritual condition. I hope and think all four are saved, but one goes this way and the other three go this way, and they have no contact and nothing in common. Zero. Why? I don't know. Do you like that? By the way, welcome to the big show. You say, well, I'm going to manipulate, I'm going to guilt my children. That's going to work. I'm going to use shame on my, that's going to help you. No? Now, by the way, I hope and pray that all of your children 100% do well. We will rejoice. See this guy, by the way, Taquito over here. I'm always picking on Taquito. I love, outside of Louis, he's my favorite guy to pick on. But he sent me pictures this week. He was holding a master's degree in nursing. That was very sweet. You have no idea how sweet it was to see that. Now, I didn't know if it was a deep fake or not. That was my problem. No, I was very happy, by the way. Very happy. All right, next. One offered out of faith, Abel. Now, the problem is the other out of, here's my Greek words. I'm not sure. Abel obviously offered his sacrifice to God out of faith. By the way, what did we talk about this morning? Looking forward to the ultimate Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. What it came to? I don't know. I don't get it. But unsaved people do things for God too. Maybe for God's blessings. Maybe that God will protect them, help them. Religions always do this. Give their journey, all that nonsense. I don't know what he offered out of, but I know that Abel offered out of faith. Cain, I'm not sure. Next, one offered an animal. Actually, and I have to be very careful here because I heard a heretical sermon on this one time, which I won't repeat, but it was actually animals. Hebrews 11 is very clear. There was more than one. In Genesis, it's also clear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. But I wouldn't make a big deal of that. One offered an animal, the other offered the fruit of the cursed ground. Now then the question is, why did he do that? Next, one offered, the text specifically says this, as a righteous man. Not to be, get saved, but as a righteous man, as a believer, he offered as a righteous man to God. That's Hebrews 11:4 also. The other, obviously, as an unrighteous man, he was of that wicked one. Lastly, the one followed the pattern God had established. You say, by the way, folks, if it was 12 generations removed, please, everyone, let's stop here for a second. I talked to the couples back in the back today. Cliffy, help me. Which Leticia, which son was here today? Izzy was here. Do you know what he talked to me about? It was beautiful. You'll like this too. He went back where his mother's family's from in Mexico. And he said, I got to do what you have done, Pastor Warren. I got to see where my great-grandparents are buried. Gives you a sense of roots. That's a beautiful thing for all of us if we can do it. How many of you know anything about your great-great-grandparents? You know little pieces, correct? Little pieces. But he doesn't know much, by the way. He doesn't know much because you never met him. You know some real interesting things, of course. By the way, only because, Jim, one reason, you're interested. Can I say this? Most people in my family are not interested in anybody except, yes, and you're very interested, but we don't know them because would I have liked to have known some of these people? Oh my goodness, I read about people in my family, I think, man, I would like, I'm going to say this in a sermon. Somebody I descend from, way back up the chain, by the way, I have none of it. When Washington crossed the Delaware in those boats, he was in one of those boats, he did what you did, he was, they used to call him a different name. Quartermaster in those days. He was Washington's quartermaster. And my always thought was, wasn't a very good one because Washington never had anything. By the way, friend, but I don't know anything about him. Can I say this to you? I've talked to my own family. I said, do you not know We have family that fought the Black Hawk War on dad and mom's side, and this is what they say. What's the Black Hawk War? But that's generations. Look at me. Cain and Abel's generation was right next to Adam and Eve. They knew what Adam and Eve happened to them. They would have had to have known that they were kicked out of the garden. Yes or no? They would have had to have known that God killed an animal, shed the blood of that animal, and clothed them. Yes? By the way, when it says Abel did what he did by faith, he simply did the pattern that God had established. Are you with me? There's not enough generations. Jim, I think we all lose. And you wish you, by the way, you wish they'd have left records, like a little book. I wish so many of them would. And if they did leave those records, by the way, this morning, this is just nobody's information. It's just interesting. This lovely young lady, where's she at? Jane? Jane has suffered the ultimate punishment. She's been helping me clean up my office desk. Now, by the way, we have taken at least 2 feet off that desk. I actually saw the desk for the first time in probably 15 years. Jane, is that correct? No, she hasn't finished yet. She's gonna have my whole life organized in the next 2 weeks. I found a letter from Mr. Akinji. Handwritten letter. I was throwing stuff away, you know, because you just collect junk from ages. I opened it, it's a handwritten letter. Who's this from? Mr. Akinji. By the way, that letter went home today with Ade for Linda, because I guarantee she has no letters from her dad. That stuff just goes. It's ephemera, just disappears. I said all that for this reason. I hope, by the way, that you get to know something about your roots. I think it can be nice. But can I say this? You never know enough. But if it's dad's, my dad's generation, the stories of my mom and dad, they kept telling them over and over. I don't know about your family. Jenny's family, same stories. Now, Jenny's dad died young, but the stories of her dad was in World War II at the end, just like my father, correct? Did they meet driving motorcycles? Is that how they met? Ah, her sister, and they rode motorcycles together. So they were on. It's those motorcycles again. Stay away from those motorcycles. That's better than dancing over here, but anyhow, we better move on. They knew about Adam and Eve in your notes. Let's finish up. I got carried away. Forgive me. I enjoy some of this stuff too much. The one followed the pattern that God had established in Genesis 3. I think that's what it means to offer by faith, just to do what God says. The other established his own pattern. Does everybody understand what that means? He just did it his own way. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Ain't nobody. By the way, Pastor Ward's not going to tell me what to do. Okay. God bless you. Well, lastly, different off the chart. Things go crazy at this point. Verse 8. I'm going to skip a little bit. Verse 8 says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and murdered him. Folks, at this point, I think there's still the possibility of forgiveness, I think. But God has already thrown down the invitation earlier and the options. Cain murders his brother Abel. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why, where's Abel, thy brother?" And he answered, "I know not," which was a lie. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And then he said, "What hast thou done? Thy voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the Adama, the ground itself, that cursed ground that you brought me fruit from. Why are you angry?" By the way, he continues, "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand in the earth." From thy hand. Verse 11. "And now, O thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from." I read it again. Verse 12. "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord. Why didn't Cain say, "Lord, please forgive me? My punishment is greater than I can bear. I was talking to somebody. Please look at me. Don't get mad at me. It's not about you. It's not about somebody you know. The young lady slept with every dog in town. And had children by some of them. And now she's no longer 18 and cute. Now she's got several kids. And no men are looking at her. And she starts to get mad at everybody. But by the way, I have a question. Whose fault is this? And do you not have an opportunity to repent? By the way, if that young lady or a young man like that would step back, fall before God, cry out for mercy, our God is a merciful God. But the problem is, it's, I don't know what to do with that. Goes on. Verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. But by the way, there's no indication that God did that. There's no indication that he couldn't have come back. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me or murder me. The only thing he's interested in is himself. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth vain vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark, an oath, a sign upon Cain. I don't know what it was. Lest any finding him should kill him. Cain went out from the... By the way, that's terrible. He went out from the presence of the Lord. From the face of the Lord. Just walked on. And he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And then Cain knew his wife and she conceived. Well, the questions... Or in verse 6, why in the world are you so furious? You know what you did. You know you did wrong. You know exactly what you did. Why are you mad at me, your parents, Abel? We come in verse 7 to the options, and the options to me. Everyone look at me. I'm going to say this, and we're going to finish. The options are very clear. If you do right, you're going to be accepted. If you don't, sin is not only present, but sin is like an animal ready to eat you alive. Now, I think the latter part of that verse is what the ESV says. There's a conflict here. By the way, that conflict is in every person, and you're going to have to get control of that conflict. You are going to have to do it. And by the way, did he do it? Never. He just marched on. You say, Pastor, what do you think about this? I will tell you what I think. It breaks my heart. Can I ask you a question? You know, everybody likes, now I don't have time to talk about free. We're already 5 minutes later than I want to be. I can't talk about freedom of the will, but I always love it. People that believe in freedom of the will don't want their kids to have freedom of the will. Well, verse 8, the die is cast. The Rubicon is crossed. If you remember the reference from Julius Caesar. When he kills his brother, I do believe he could still go back, but I see nothing of him going back after that point. They were different from the start. They were different in the heart. It wasn't just external. John and Amy look physically different. Everybody looks at John, says he looks like my wife. Everybody looks at me and says, Amy doesn't look like me. I don't know where that comes from. And Jesse and I have no resemblance at all, just so you all know. By the way, I know that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about, look... And then they were different, off the chart. It's the tale of two lost brothers. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And I pray that every one of your children, and by the way, look at me. I mean this. When I look around here, nothing makes me happier than to see your children succeed. Nothing. I am going to be your biggest cheerleader if you succeed. If you do this to me, I'll just back off from you and let you take care of your own business. I'll still pray that you succeed. See these two right here? I can speak at them because I love both of them. One of them is perfect and one of them is more like the father. You say, which is, oh, yeah, Nia's just like dad. Mm-hmm. By the way, do I want them to succeed just like I want your children to succeed? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. I ask in Jesus' name. And Father, as we dismiss tonight, bless the food and our fellowship and time together. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.